Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The issue, the problems of the world, the problems of the nations, any nation in the world, any community, any man, problem is always theological. Hearing the voice of God, obeying the voice of God, leads to healing, spiritual, moral healing. But to hear the voice of God and disregard and reject His counsel is, of course, well, leads to the ultimate disaster, leads to the judgment appointed unto man, divinely appointed unto man once to die. After that then comes the judgment. Not the end of the story, not a black hole, not an unknown. It's divinely appointed, marked on God's calendar, when each and every one of us, you personally, will die, breathe your last, and go out of this world, and then the very next thing is you will be judged by Almighty God. But before that day comes, before that time comes, it's my hope, my prayer, come a long way, over 6,000 miles, to bring the gospel, to bring the message of God, to bring the voice of God to you from His Word, that you might hear, that you might believe that God, in His grace and His kindness, that He would grant unto you repentance towards God and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. That He would give it to you to hear His voice and obey His voice. I don't take that as a given, not at all. No, the most of you, majority here, in West Virginia, in America, here on your campus today, majority of you, sad to say, yeah, you'll hear the gospel as you've heard many times before, and doubtless you'll hear it again, but the most of you will breathe your last and enter into judgment, unbelieving, unregenerate, the same way that you come into the world is the way that you'll go out. You see, unless there's a point in your history that you can point to, that you will be able to point to, a time when you can say, that's when God came to me, that's when I was regenerated, that's when I was born again, that's when I was resurrected, that's when I was changed by Almighty God. That's when I was brought to repentance and faith towards the Son of God. Unless there's a time that you can point to in your history when that was your experience, in that day when you stand before God in judgment, that will be a terrible day for you. My hope, my prayer for you is that God would grant you that regeneration. Christ Jesus came into the world not to destroy men's lives. Religion came to do that. Muhammad came to kill and destroy. Jesus Christ came to save life. And that He does, of course, by His death and resurrection on the cross, that He does by saving men and women, by my gospel, by the preaching of the gospel. That's what I'm doing today. Foolishness, God says in His Word, foolishness to those who are perishing. Evidence that you are perishing would be that you would see that which I am doing here today as foolishness. That would be an evidence that you're perishing in your sin presently now and one day to perish eternally. unless that is, of course, otherwise. You see, in the preaching of the gospel, the wisdom of God, the power of God unto salvation, that would be an evidence that you are being saved. But the problem, what we need saving from, well, that death, you see, that natural death in which you were born into. Spiritual death, cut off from God now, and then of course physical death will come, and then eternal, everlasting death in that day when you depart from this world. Your biography is already written here on the pages of God's Word. Dead in trespasses and sins, cut off from God, when in a time past, walking according to the course of this world, that's all you can do. As a natural brute beast, with no life of God in your soul, no desire for God, and no desire for life, you come into the world, you see, that's the problem of mankind, that's the problem the world over. Men and women, naturally born into a state, into a condition of death, spiritual death that is, cut off from God. It begins, you see, it begins with your parents, it begins in your mother's womb. There you are conceived in sin, and then 9 months later you're born in sin, and you live in sin, you live in that state of death all your days, separated from God, separated from your best good, separated from God, unless that is the rest of your life, unless that is the grace of God intervenes and grants you that resurrection, that regeneration of which Jesus speaks. Ye must, he says, be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive that is, he cannot understand the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. So here you are today, a natural born sinner with a natural state and condition of sin. And so what do you get out of your sinful nature? Do you get goodness? Do you get kindness? Do you get love? Do you get life? Do you get joy? No, the very opposite. You get hatred, you get death, and you get nothing but misery. That's the state and condition in which you are naturally born into. Unless by the grace of God, that is, you're reborn, regenerated, resurrected, given life from the dead, conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, die in sin, and go to a lost eternity in your sin, in a state of death, everlasting and eternal death, cut off from God forever. So, my gospel, you see, my gospel, friends, is the only answer, is the only antidote, is the only cure. The only cure for death is life, and there's no life apart from God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Until you connect by faith with Jesus Christ, there's no life in you. Just an existence, that's all. Just a brute beast existence. You get up in the morning, and what's your thoughts? You think, what will I wear today? What will I eat today? What will I put in my belly today? It never gets any higher than that. No thought of God, no life of God in your soul. See, when Jesus talks about being born again, he's not talking about a physical rebirth. He's not talking about you returning to your mother's womb and being born again physically. He's talking about God putting his life into your soul, making you alive for the first time in your earthly existence. He's talking about God putting His love into your heart. He's putting another completely new dimension to your earthly being and existence. But rest assured, there is no life apart from God, and there is no life of God apart from Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. That is the one who gives life to the dead. That is the one who raises the dead to life. That is the one who, by my gospel and the preaching of my gospel, breathes life eternal into the souls of men and women. Until then, you remain dead. Not a little bit dead, not a big bit dead, but totally, completely dead, cut off from God, no life apart from God, in a state of death now, and soon to be so, everlastingly, for all eternity, unless that is God grants you repentance unto Himself and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. The only answer to that state of death, the only answer to your sin, the only answer to your present state and condition. Until then, well, you walk, you live, that is, according to the course of this world. What's the course of this world? Well, nothing but lawlessness, nothing but disobedience towards God. Because you're conceived in sin and born in sin, that's the way that you live, quite naturally. Hating the light, loving the darkness, because your deeds are evil, that's the natural state and condition. And so you walk according to the course of this world, according to the culture of the day, according to the homosexuality, that which God says is unnatural, sodomy and lesbianism, transgenderism, all the insanity of your present worldly culture, that's the course that you walk according to. You can't do any other. You can't do any other. You haven't got the power to do any other. You just naturally, quite naturally, because you're a natural born sinner, you quite naturally just go with the flow. You go with the course of this world. You go with the culture of this world. Whatever the culture vultures, whatever they throw at you, you go along with it, because you haven't got the power of resistance in you. You haven't got the power. You haven't got the courage. You haven't got the moral fiber to stand against it. So you just go with the flow, according to the course of this world. And what's the end of that course? Well, the end of that course, the Bible says, God's going to destroy this present world in judgment. It's reserved for fire for the day of judgment, when it will be dissolved in fervent heat, and you along with it. Unless by the grace of God, God grants you repentance towards Himself and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. Until that time, in your natural state and condition, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the dictates of this world. You just go with its filth and uncleanness. You just go with its darkness. You go on rejecting the light, because you can do no other. It comes out of you quite naturally. You know what a dog does? It barks. That's its nature. What do sinners do? They sin quite naturally. That's your natural habitat. Unless that is, of course, God changes it by His grace. So you see, you continue to live with all the filth, all the garbage of the swamp. That's what the human race is. It's a swamp of human sin, of mire and filth. You know? It's like a river slowly moving moving towards that day of judgment, towards that precipice. And you're swimming in that swamp along with the rest of humanity, but you, for your part, you love it. You splash around in that mess of human sin, all that filth and degradation, all that disgusting, filthy, unnatural stuff, you know, like your homosexuality, your fornicating, all your insane transgenderism. You just delight in swimming in that swamp, but oblivious to the fact that the river, the swamp is moving towards that precipice over which one day you'll fall into a lost eternity, into that place called hell, where the smoke of your torment will rise up forever and ever. So is my hope, my desire, my prayer for you today here in West Virginia, that God should always open the eyes of your understanding, give you light, you know, bring some measure of conviction to you, you know, of the reality of your state and condition, of the danger that you're in, and that your course according to this world might be changed, because only God can change it. You can't, you haven't got the power. You can't get yourself out of that swamp. Only Jesus Christ can. But there's the love of God. God sending His Son Jesus Christ into the swamp to get people like you out of the swamp. Without Himself, of course, being tainted by the swamp. Within it, in Him, there's no sin, none at all. The sinless Savior, He came down into the swamp to get sinners like you out of it, to rescue sinners from out of it, by His dying on the cross, that is, taking the curse of God upon Himself, the wrath of God upon Himself, due to a sinner like you, that when you connect with Jesus by faith, not only do you get life and love and lasting joy, but you get taken out of that swamp and out of it forever. The course that you're walking today, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. That's the one who holds you in his sway. The whole world, you know, the Bible says, is under the sway of the wicked one. It's a demonic world. That's why it's in such a damnable mess. The curse of God lies upon the entirety of humanity. And the curse of God is always stronger, always mightier, I tell you, than anything that man does. Man says he can build the world. You say you can build America back. No, you can't. Because whatever man does, God curses it, God breathes on it, and God brings it down. Man can't do it at all. He hasn't got the power. He hasn't got the power to lift the curse from off him. The curse of God's always stronger. It's a mighty curse because He's a mighty God. And that curse lies upon the entirety of humanity. Lies upon you. It matters not what you achieve in your university, in your life. Still, all your days under the curse of God. And cursing everything that you do and achieve. But Jesus Christ, the good news is, Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem those under the curse, to lift it from off them. Only the mighty Son of God by His power can relieve you of the curse, redeem you from the curse. Wrath of God lies upon you even now. Oh, there's the wrath to come, the full, final, unmitigated wrath of God. But even now, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men
who hold down the truth of the knowledge of God in wickedness, that is. So you see the wrath of God? No, you don't. You can't see it. But it is revealed. Where is it revealed? Well, listen to what comes out of the mouths of your fellow students. Look at their behavior. Look at the sodomy. Look at the filth and uncleanness. Look at the degraded humanity in your country. Look at the swamp your nation is. A degraded swamp of humanity. That's the wrath of God. That's what He's given you over to. Why? Because you hold down the truth of the knowledge of God in wickedness. Don't come asking me to prove the existence of God. You already know that. You've got a conscience. You're a morally accountable creature. You know that. Your conscience tells you that. It's a God-given agent inside of you testifying to when you do right and when you do wrong. So don't be asking that foolish question, is there a God? Oh, you know full well that there is, and you have Him to do with, because it's Him that you need saving from. Maybe perhaps in the past you've been told God loves everybody. That's a lie. That's a damnable lie. No, He does not. It's Him that you need saving from. It's His wrath that's upon you. Like a rash, I tell you, hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any divinely given moment. Lies upon you now. It's God that you need saving from. It's from Him that you must flee into the arms of His Son, Jesus Christ, who alone can save you, deliver you from the wrath of God. Deliver you from the wrath to come. You're in serious trouble. You're in great danger. You're in that swamp of human sin, degraded, unclean, defiled, cut off from God now, and one day will be for all eternity, unless that is God gives you. Not in your power to do it. Unless God gives you repentance towards Himself and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. You'll perish in your sin in the course of this world in which you walk under the prince of the power of the air, the power of the devil who holds you in his snare, and only Jesus Christ can loose you, children of disobedience. That's what you be, among whom also you have your conversation in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's all that you can do. You can't do any other. You can't lift your game. You can't lift the standards any higher than they are. Just a natural brute beast, just like your pet dog, just like your cat. Feed your belly and that's about it. Unless God gives you light and life and love and lasting joy. These are the commodities, don't you know, that people are looking for in the world today. Oh, I just want love. Oh, we don't need this religion. Let's all just love one another. Well, why don't you? Why don't you love one another? You sing about it, you talk about it, but that's all you do because you can't do the thing. You can't even define it. You don't even know what it is. Never mind do it. You hate God and you hate one another. That's why you're always killing one another. Don't you know what God's word says? They that hate me love death. And that's writ large all over your country, the United States of America. You've got a love affair going with death, killing the unborn in their millions, euthanasia, killing the elderly. Huh? Killing, killing, killing. That's all you're good for, killing. Thou shalt not kill. Children of disobedience, that's what you do. because you hate God, you hate one another. Love, you don't even know what it is. I'll tell you what love is. Love is God sending His Son into the world specifically to die on a cross, endure His own curse and wrath, and rise again from the dead in order that a vile, lost, degraded sinner like you might be washed and made clean, might be given love, no love, for the first time in your earthly existence. Love everlasting, love eternal. Love, my friends, is of God and only of God. You don't know God, you don't know love. So people are looking for love. They turn to the broken systems of this world, looking for love, looking for life, looking for happiness, and what do they find? Nothing but more misery. The broken systems of this world. You turn to your immorality, to your drugs, to your alcohol, whatever it is that the world has to offer you. And do you find love? No, you don't. Just more broken relationships, broken marriages, broken families. No love. No love in the course of the world. No life either. You go looking for life. Do you find life in the drugs? Do you find it in the immorality? Do you find it in the fornicating? Do you find it in the sodomizing? Do you find life there? No. Just more and more. One moment's pleasure, and then more misery than ever before. I am come, says Jesus, that they might have life, that they might have abundant life, and I don't see any of that in your campus here today. All I can see is miserable, dead sinners who need the life of God in them. Because apart from God, there is no life, just existence. And death is trolling you every step of the way. You get a PhD here, or a doctorate or something, You get to become a CEO or some celebrity. But every step of the way, death, you know it, death is trolling you, is stalking you. That's all that you've got to look forward to. That's why for the last 2 years you've been wearing masks and getting jagged. Why? Because you've only got one life and you cling to it by your fingernails. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never, never, never perish. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Only one answer to death is calling you, stalking you every step of the way, spoils everything you do. Spoils everything you do, because you're always being reminded of it. A bereavement, a car accident. Oh, that could have been me. You're always being reminded of death. It's always in your face and spoiling your existence, your pathetic, dead existence in this world. Turn ye, why will you die, says the Lord? Why will you die eternally, everlastingly, when there is life abundant, life eternal, life everlasting to be had, to be found in Jesus Christ? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Repentance towards God, the one that you've offended, grossly offended, and faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the pathway to life. The only pathway to life. Joy, happiness, love and life and lasting joy, lasting joy, lasting,
not just a moment's simple pleasure. Lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee and in Thee alone, not in the course of this world, and not in the degradation of sin. There's no joy there. Joy? A joy, says Jesus, I give, that no man can take away from you. They can persecute you, they can mock you, they can sneer at you, they can argue with you, and they can even kill you, but my joy they can never take away from you. Whence that joy? That joy comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, who alone can take your sin away. There's no other Savior, no other who died for sinners. The Pope of Rome never died for a sinner. Mohammed never died for sinners. Jesus Christ alone, God's Lamb, nailed to that cross in order that your sins might be forgiven and that you might know the joy that comes from knowing that God has completely absolved you from everything that you ever did. Joy that no man can take away from you. A joy because you know that your name is written in heaven. In that day when you stand before your Maker, His finger will go down the pages, one after another, and if your name is not written in His book, in the Lamb's book of life, indelibly written in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you, you're out of it for all eternity. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, will be your sentence. So joy, happiness, everlasting, eternal joy, found in Jesus, and in Jesus alone, the Son of God. I commend Him to you. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. The desires of the flesh and mind. Well, check it out. What are your desires? Huh? What are your desires? Are they not all fleshly? No desire for God. No desire for forgiveness. No desire for holiness. No desire for cleanness and purity. The desires, the lusts and desires of your mind, they're all fleshly, just like your dog. Huh? Your mind rises no higher than your dog. Huh? That's the natural state I was once in. I'm 42 years ago. Until that is, by the grace of God, I was saved, I was regenerated, reborn. Fulfilling. Not only are the desires there, the fleshly desires, but fulfilling them. You have to fulfill what's in your mind, you know. I'm surprised, you know. We've been here for almost a couple of hours now, and nobody's been raging at it. That's unusual on an American campus. But here you go. Here you go. You see, you have one example here to my left, yeah? There's always opposition to the preaching of the gospel, you see, because naturally, says God, you're incontinent. You know what incontinent is? You know, you get something inside of you and you don't want it to come out. You got to do something to keep it in. But you're incontinent, you see. You can't keep it in. You know, you can't keep it. I don't believe in Santa Claus. So when you start talking about it, I don't get angry. I don't get in a rage. I just walk on by it because I know Santa doesn't exist. So ask yourself the question, why is it when the gospel is preached, why is it that you get into such a rage and such a stir? Why is it you go to this trouble
to right aside, stand next to the street preacher, and voice what's inside of you. You're raging your anger against God. You would tear him out of heaven if you could. You would kill the Almighty if you could, but you can't. He'll kill you one day. He'll take you out of this world to judgment. Unless that is by the grace of God, unless by the grace of God, let me finish with this. This is beautiful. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved. And where do you behold, where do you see that great mercy? You see, mercy with God, not just, you know, you might say, you know, that you got merciful feelings towards somebody else, but you're powerless to help them do anything about that, you know, their situation. But God's mercy, you see, is active. He actually does something to help those who need his mercy. And what did he do? He sent his only begotten Son into the world to die on a cross, to take the curse that's upon them, to take the wrath that hangs over them, to take their death, take their sin, and give to them his righteousness. That's what God did in his mercy. God's mercy does something. It's not just a feeling like you. It actually accomplishes something. See? And he's rich in mercy. Oh, so rich. He's abounding in mercy. And that's why we are here today preaching the gospel to you. You know, that's a token of God's favor towards you here today, that his servants are on your campus preaching the gospel to you. They're the best friends that you've got on campus today, believe me. Telling you how you can find love and life and lasting joy. How you can come to an experience of the great mercy, the rich mercy. And I tell you, rich, rich, blots everything out. All that you ever did, blots it all out. Washed in the blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, he gave to you his very best, his only begotten Son. Yes. Yeah, his very best. I got 6 children, and I tell you, I wouldn't give one of my children for the best of you. God gave his very best, his only begotten Son, for the worst of you. The worst of you. That you might be saved. In the way that is of repentance towards God and faith towards his Son Jesus Christ. For his great love wherewith he loved us. We, that is, we who have been saved, that's not you, not yet. You can't say, you can't say that until you've been saved. So I say it here just simply to testify to you that there's a way back. There's a way back from the dark path of sin. Jesus says, I am the way, truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way, one name only. None of name under heaven whereby we must be saved. None of your religions, 9,900 of them in your world today, according to the Oxford University Press. 9,900 religions, yeah, in your world today. And not a cent's worth of salvation in any one of them. Because salvation is in one name, and one name alone, Jesus Christ, the mighty Son of God, who conquered sin and death and hell, arose mighty from the grave to impart love, eternal life everlasting and joy unspeakable to vile, lost, ruined, undone, dead sinners. To be life into your soul, make you live for the first time in your earthly existence. But I have to tell you, you hear the word of God today. albeit just in passing, but you hear the word of God today, and you do nothing with it but reject it. You don't pay heed to the voice of God, not mine. Not my voice you need to hear. My sheep hear my voice. The goats, Jesus says, they don't hear His voice. My sheep, they hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. But you hear that voice, and you reject the overtures of God's love and life and joy, you're left with nothing but the ultimate disaster, the judgment of God in that day when He will cast you into everlasting, eternal damnation, the flames of hell that ascend up forever and ever. And I wonder, your country today, United States of America, just the same as my United Kingdom, I wonder that you can't smell the sulfur, that you can't feel the heat of the fires of hell even now. But before it's too late, time is short, West Virginia. Before it's too late, there's a voice, there's a cry that you will never, never hear in hell. And it's this: I came to Jesus, but He rejected me. He says, I will in no wise cast out the sinner that comes to me. But there is one cry that you will hear constantly in hell: too late! Too late! I left it too late! Don't leave it too late. Come today. Come today, you may, on the authority of His word. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Peace with God and the peace of God. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. West Virginia, may God have mercy upon your precious, never dying soul.